Welcome to the Grow People Podcast.
Welcome.
Welcome. Welcome.
I just didn't feel like saying it high pitch this time.
Oh, well, you're still recovering from Easter.
What was that?
That, of course, is Pastor Jason.
Yeah, it is.
Fresh off the Easter trilogy of resurrection. I'm sorry.
Crucifixion.
Get it. Crucifixion, resurrection, ascension.
We did our own trilogy.
We did. What a way to do that.
It's perfect.
That was, and I know we planned that because it fit really well into the calendar.
That's the only reason why. Yeah. but it worked out great.
But doing it that way, you were able to get deep into each one, each part of what happened to Jesus and, of course, where Jesus is now. Were you aware of that when you planned that?
Where Jesus was? Yeah. No, he's in heaven.
No.
With the Father.
No.
Sitting
no,
at
that's,
his right
that's,
hand.
That's not what I meant.
Yeah. What was I aware of? What?
Okay. When it sounded like a great idea, were you aware of where you were going to go on this?
Oh, yeah. When Lindsay had the idea, calendar-wise, and she may have even said the different parts, and then that's when I was like, oh, we could talk about the crucifixion, mm-hmm. the resurrection, mm-hmm. and the ascension.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to do it again next year, but we can talk about the ascension, the resurrection, and then the crucifixion.
Yeah, we'll go out of order.
My name is David Stein. I'm the discipleship pastor here, and the purpose of the Grow People podcast is to help
grow people.
Wow, it sounded like there was a third person here.
There's a third person.
Yes, that was harmony.
Speaking of trilogy.
Yes, special guest day here at the ballpark, fresh off his excellent sermon on Ezra chapter 10. He is now in his eighth month as campus pastor here in Canton. Eighth.
Wow.
It's a few.
Yeah. And also young adults pastor. His spiritual gifts are a savant-like knowledge of sports.
I was wondering where you're going with this.
That's spiritual?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. The t-shirt covered by the open button-down.
yeah.
And he's a great dad and husband. Husband and dad. Please welcome Pastor Matt Hayes.
Pastor Matt Hayes.
Woo! Yes, yes.
Thanks, y'all.
We're excited for your first appearance on the podcast.
Thanks, man. I've never been called a savant when it comes to sports info. So that makes my day.
Have you had a conversation about sports with him?
Yeah, he's the only one that's more annoying than you to have a sports conversation with.
Oh, you know what? You're welcome.
I'm just kidding.
You're so welcome.
No, I actually enjoy the conversation more with him. Because it tends to be people within the last two decades, not the 60s in baseball.
I can go mid-90s.
Is it that time? Well, let's wrap it up. You want a transcript of today's show.
I'm just kidding.
What is funny, though, is when I was interviewing, when me and David met for the first time, we very quickly said, like, we're going to get nothing done if I work here.
Nothing.
Because all we're going to do is talk about sports.
But I had no idea the deep dive. You're like fifth on the depth chart offensive lineman being recruited out of middle school deep.
No, no, high school.
That's
fair. He's like, do you see who Clemson's looking at? He's in eighth grade. Yeah. I don't.
No, and to be fair, I would only say that because you're a Clemson fan. I care zero, Jason, I'm sorry, care zero for any team that has orange in their color. It's just like this difficult thing of being a Georgia fan. Mm. There's nothing good with the color orange. Now there is.
Yeah. Have you heard the story of David making fun of burnt orange on the national broadcast?
No,
it was all over the world.
And this is before, I assume you hired him before you knew this.
Oh, no, yeah. Well, he was already on staff, like doing a national, he was doing the national broadcast for the Clemson Tigers in California. And I happened to be listening. And he makes a reference to the Clemson, or I don't even know how the conversation got brought up.
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, it's a good orange, not that ugly burnt one or something like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Whoopsies.
He may not have said ugly.
Now,
but
full disclosure, I believe that was the national championship game 2015. Mm. So I had not been hired yet on staff.
Are you sure?
I think I was still in residency.
I mean, it was clear.
You were around and you knew that he was a Texas fan.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I was not cognizant of the fact that he might be listening and
Sure.
Yeah. I'm just throwing it. I mean, there were like 2,000 people there, and there were t-shirt guns and all kinds of guests.
You're
and,
doing your thing as the Clemson host.
Yeah. 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 And that's, and I,
but he just happened to pick out the one,
but he threw and, you and, straight on the bus.
And here we are 10 years later.
Yeah. Hey, look at us. Look at us. Texas is better than both. It's
oh my.
No, I do understand when you're, like hatred of Florida. I get it. Cause when I came here 15 years ago and we rebranded the church.
Yeah.
Cause our colors used to be red and black, the old revolution. Mm-hmm. And that was partly because of Georgia colors, which I do not dislike red and black. Cause I think I've said this, but my mascot in high school was the Bulldogs. So I've always liked Georgia Bulldogs. So I like the
colors. Say that again for the people in the back. Yeah, you always,
what? Always liked Georgia Bulldogs. But when I came, I knew we needed to rebrand, you know? And so we went away from red and went to blue. Mm-hmm. And then we were looking for an alternate color. And I was like, man, orange really looks good with blue. And then very quickly, people were like, oh, no, we can't do that.
No, we can't do that.
And I was like, why? Like, I'm not thinking Florida.
Right.
You know, I'm new to Georgia. Like, that's Florida colors. I was like, oh, my bad. Yeah.
So yeah. If you're a Florida fan, we love you. If you're an Auburn fan, we love you. If you're a Tennessee fan, we love you. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No, I don't like that orange.
We love all of you.
I don't like UT, the Tennessee.
Yeah.
Because they claim that they were first and they had the original logo and all that stuff. So it's a fight.
No, and their orange looks like they washed everything in hot.
Yeah.
And it just faded.
No, listen, the Tennessee joke is they went hunting that morning and just came straight in from the deer stand for the football game.
I have not heard that joke.
Yeah, bro. Welcome to Georgia.
Well, that kind of makes me like them more.
Fair. Again, we like all of them.
Yeah.
Just not on Saturdays in the fall. It's fine.
You know, when we've talked sports, and again, I think I'm pretty good at talking sports. I did it for a living.
You may or may not be one of the best.
But man, you are another level.
No, stop it.
If you were on Jeopardy,
that would be the category.
I would bet on you on Jeopardy. What would your five categories be? What do you think?
Oh my goodness. That's really tough. I would have to do something around Georgia football of the last 20 years. I don't know if you can do that. More than Jeopardy here. Let me flip the question.
Okay.
I don't know what the five would be. Something around Lord of the Rings, something around C.S. Lewis, probably something around theology. I do have some hot takes about Star Wars. Mm-hmm. That has been a current combo
with
our staff.
An hour and a half of hot takes.
It may or may not have taken a long time in our staff retreat. It's fine. What I really wish I could have done.
I'll never get back.
Since David, as we all know on the podcast, has never seen, done, read, played anything having to do with Star Wars, that sounds like a personal problem. I love a good story. But what I wish I could have done more than any other trivia thing is stump the Schwab.
Oh, I loved him.
Remember that? Did you watch that?
I loved him. Yes.
I never would have won because those people were savants.
Yeah.
And for everyone listening 9 minutes in, I promise this is not what we're going to talk about the entire time. I'm so sorry.
Just intro.
It may be.
Which is fine with me. I'm good with that. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah.
Oh. Dave is just trying to prove the point when I said it was annoying. So he's just trying to.
No. What would your categories be on Jeopardy? Like, you would kill these categories. You would run the category. You'd be like Daily Double. Bet it all.
You know what's so funny, man? And this is a little bit of a sidetrack. My mom, speaking of Mother's Day coming up, was really good. Like, you always wanted her on her trivia, on your trivia team. She remembered all that. I can't remember anything. Like, songs, like, even Bible stuff.
Really?
Yeah. I just don't. And I shouldn't say I don't. There's certain things like if I read a book, I can remember where it was in the book, or what I remember, you know. But so trivia things like that, I can't recall. So I don't, it'd have to be like, I mean, even Bible stuff, I'd probably be like,
Winning touchdowns in University of Texas history.
Even that kind of, I mean, other than like Vince Young's in the national championship, like friends of mine, like you guys, you know, you text your, like I've got Texas friends, we text in games, like they'll reference all these other things. I'm like, I don't remember that. I'm like, oh yeah. I'm so visual. I think if I see it,
Sure.
So I don't even know what the categories would be. Like maybe Texas history or
Lindsay.
Even that.
My like, personal story.
Whataburger menus. Yeah. Oh, speaking of Whataburger, how many people have texted you that there's a Whataburger in Hickory Flat?
A lot. Did we talk about it on the last podcast?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah,
I think we've talked about Whataburger on every podcast.
Yeah, we have pretty much.
Am I allowed to make a confession? I've never had Whataburger.
You haven't?
No, I think that's
a personal thing.
It is. Yeah. Got him. Never had it. I know.
We need to get Whataburger and watch Star Wars so we can make this happen.
Sounds like a party.
Yeah. And people text me like I'm supposed to tell you that there's a Whataburger.
And sorry, I interrupted you.
No, it's fine.
You missed out, Matt, because now that we have Whataburger here, I'm not saying I'm upset about that, but back in the day before we had Whataburger, there was a lot of times we would go to Texas for different conference things that we were a part of. Back when David was residence, you know, before I almost fired him for making the comment on air, before I hired him. But we would fly into Dallas, DFW, on like, you know, we'd get there at 10 o'clock at night sometimes, and then we would leave the airport and go to Whataburger at like 11 or midnight. Mm-hmm. We did that, I don't know how many times.
Every time.
So I'm saying that to say, I almost like don't want you to eat Whataburger here. We need to do that.
Oh, yes.
Like just wait until we fly in late to Texas one day.
It's like getting off the plane in LA and the first thing you do is go to In-N-Out.
Yeah. Also never had In-N-Out.
Wow.
I know. Guys.
You are a pretty healthy eater. So
I don't even call my mom when I land. She says, when are you going to land? And I'll be like,
and
I'm landing.
Add in the hour.
I'm landing at 1. I'm stopping at Whataburger In-N-Out on the way down. There was a moment at the staff retreat last week where we're sitting around the fire. This is night 2, and I mean, this is an unbelievable staff where everybody just wants to hang out with each other.
It's fun.
It is unique.
It's great.
And the conversation that I walk into is Matt holding court on what the best Star Wars movie is. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
There's how many?
There have been 9 movies that are like in the thing. And then there's also Rogue One, which is the 10th, but it's not considered in the 9.
Yeah. It's a different storyline.
And then there's all of the animated series. Now there's all the live action series. There's a lot in the canon of Star Wars.
Well, apparently, because I don't think it was done and it was still an hour and a half. And then the geekdom morphed into.
Thank you.
it morphed into the greatest character of all time. And then it was the development of each character.
Mm. Yeah. And then David sat down and said, but what's your favorite Godfather movie?
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, here. Let's change the subject and bring everybody in. It was great.
We did discuss that the last time.
Yeah. My wife has never been more proud of me that the first 10 minutes I've been on this is about sports and Star Wars. Yeah, she's like, golly, you nerd. I know. I know.
But people want to get to know you.
Yeah.
They love you.
But do they really? Yeah. Just kidding.
How did you get here? And I mean... When did Jesus change your life?
Oh, yeah. We're going back in the machine.
We are.
Okay. I grew up around the church. I've been in the
around
South.
Around this church?
Around the church.
In the parking lot?
That's right.
Yeah. This church didn't exist.
Okay. No, it did not. But no, I grew up around the church. Been in the South my whole life. Was born in North Carolina. We moved to Atlanta when I was a kid. And my family loved Jesus. Jesus was the center of our household. Mm-hmm. When I was 8, I like said a prayer with my parents that I don't remember, but they told me I did. And then I was baptized because it's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then I lived a life through, I would say like my teenage years of being known as the like Christian kid who was involved in all the sports and school stuff and all the things. But like, that's what I was known as. And then I would say, when I was 17, at a summer camp, I gave my life to Jesus, and it changed. It wasn't anymore something that what is what I was supposed to do. It really turned into, no, this is what I want to do. This was a full surrender. Mm-hmm. So from that, I came home from the camp and told my parents, I feel like God's calling me into ministry. And they're like, well, we've known that since you were 12. And I was like, well, thanks for telling me. Jeez.
You did share your camp experience in your last sermon. And it was powerful because I'm sure there were a lot of people that related to, you know, vacation Bible school, salvation, and then later on in life.
Yeah. Yeah. Jason, help me theologically, this tracks. But for me, the language I've used is, like, to the greatest extent that I could have understood the gospel and understood my sin and understood my need for Jesus and my love for Jesus. When I was eight, I would say I was saved.
Yeah.
But I never fully surrendered and made him not just Savior, but Lord and King.
Yeah.
Till I was 17. And that was a big shift that I had to, I would say a lot of my growth and maturity began when I was 17 in terms of my faith. Yeah. I don't know that I grew beyond what I just heard through the osmosis of living in the South and being around my parents. It became my own at that point. Mm-hmm. That was the difference.
Yeah. Your path to ministry, I love because of the vast experiences you've had at big churches. I did not have that path. My path was show up and get recruited to join the welcome team.
Yeah,
and, sure. And then here we are.
Yeah.
But what was your path of ministry? So you go to University of Georgia.
I did. Go Dawgs.
Having the time of your life. Then you wind up.
Why'd you look at me? The sly. I'm fine with it.
Listen, here's the thing about me. We're going to come back to it for a second, and then I'm going to get back to that. I'm also going to be the person in your life who you know is a massive UGA fan, and I will not be annoying to you. I will not text you. I will not berate you. I will not anything, because I also fully know.
Like all the other Georgia fans.
That's right. Yeah. Sometimes our fans are tough, but I also fully know and expect that y'all are going to beat and whip up on us now they're in the same conference enough to where, like, I don't want to receive it from you. Yeah. So I'm good.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was at UGA and I was trying to figure out whether I'd go into education like my older sister did. Mm-hmm. And I watched her do a lot of ministry work, a lot of impacting people through FCA and by teaching. So that was my original idea, was I'd do that and I'd coach. And then my senior year, I had some things change in my like academic course. And then fall of my senior year, a big brother of mine, he's my mentor, older spiritual brother, spiritual father, however you want to say, the greatest impact on my life spiritually, especially through my adolescence and into my 20s. His name's Kevin Queen.
That was one of my questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kevin is the lead pastor at Crosspoint up in Nashville now. But he was at a church called 12 Stone Church, which I was around. And Kevin was the high school pastor when I was a senior at that camp. And his younger brother was my oldest friend. His parents were like a second set of parents to me. So I just knew him deeply and he had invested in me. So my senior year, he said, well, when you're done, when you graduate in the spring, why don't you come be my intern? And I looked at him and I was like, let me pray about that. Yes. Like, it took no time. It was such a quick ask because of his influence and impact in my life, because I trusted him and because I wanted to be around him. When he offered me to come and basically like follow him, it was very much a, yep, I'm in. Mm-hmm. I would love to apprentice under you and learn from you. And so that set it up to where when I graduated spring of 2008, I ended up starting at 12 Stone as one of their first residences. So me and you on the residency.
Yes. Right.
Let's go.
Yes.
Did that for 2 years.
Is this before or after you went to Costa Rica and met someone special?
I did. I met my wife, Larson, in Costa Rica. It was so I met with Kevin 2 months before I went to Costa Rica.
Okay.
I studied abroad in Costa Rica my final semester at UGA. And I met my wife, now my wife, Larson. We met in the terminal going out on the on the program, and just got to know each other there, became great friends, got back to Athens and started dating. So I went on that trip knowing when I get back, when I'm done, I'm going into ministry. And it's a large part of our story because then I move home and go into ministry. She has her senior year and just navigating the next few years of being in those types of places and situations that are so different. But I went full in. I just dove straight in. And the 2 years I had at 12 Stone in the residency were great because it allowed me to get a practical experience of getting to lead in ministry and learn, while also giving me a lot of leadership foundational things of lessons learned. 12 Stone is very connected to John Maxwell.
Right.
He's on their board. The John Maxwell, Leadership Center is connected to one of their campuses. And so I had Maxwellian leadership pummeled into me from my early 20s, all through all of my 20s. So it was a great place to learn, great place to figure it out, especially those early years. And I was there for 8 years. Mm-hmm. So it was a weird track. I started in kids ministry, first 6 months at a preschool. And that's about, all I could figure out how to handle was figuring out how to deal and lead with adults who had little kids, yeah. even though I was a young 20 something and didn't have that yet. And it was a great place to start. And then I shifted into elementary ministry and I stayed there, for the rest of my residency. And then I got hired full time to create the, online church at 12 Stone. Mm-hmm. So I was the online campus pastor for 4 years while leading many other things. So
was that before COVID?
Yeah. So this is 2008 to 2016.
So creating online church 5 years, or
yeah, 10 long year, time.
9 years before COVID.
Yeah, we were part of a kind of pioneer group of creating it at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So Life Church out in Oklahoma is kind of considered the pioneers of it all. But 12 Stone and 11 other churches, we invested into Life Church to create their platform. So we were a part of this pilot group, us and Saddleback out in California, Community Bible Church in San Antonio, Seacoast and, you know, in South Carolina, kind of all over. And we helped create and guinea pig this mm-hmm. platform
yeah.
that could become available for churches to use for free around the world. So in 2011, we reached 197 countries. Mm. And there were stories of people in who were like spending time in Pakistan, who were from Iran, that like were part of this secret church, mm. who found our church online mm. and reached out to us. And then 9 years later, someone from Michigan met that guy and reached out to me when I was at a different church to tell me like, hey, he wanted to say, hey, just wild stories at the beginning when
that's so cool.
No one knew what they were doing. Mm-hmm. It was totally us just, it was basically like, Matt, we want to do this. Mm-hmm. Go figure it out.
Yeah, yeah.
You need a job?
So
let's figure it out.
You guys were pioneers. We were already doing online church when COVID hit, but there were thousands and thousands of churches oh, that yeah. hadn't even ventured into that.
No clue.
And that's why on the first day of the first Sunday of COVID, everyone crashed.
That's right.
Everybody on the East Coast starting a gathering at 9:30 was trying to go online at the same time.
Yeah. March 15th.
Yes.
I may not remember that day. Mm. Yeah. March 11th, the Rudy Gobert day on Wednesday, March 12th, everything started to shut down. The 15th is that first Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild. Crazy. It was 5 years ago.
Yeah. It was the grand opening of our Jasper campus that we shut down.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't do it this year, but every year since COVID, I would text everybody the picture of the Waffle House that was ground zero
in
Cherokee County, where they said, oh, the first case of COVID in Cherokee County.
Yeah. Right here.
How did you wind up at Woodstock City?
Yeah. So I continued to lead at 12 Stone for a while. Mm-hmm. Was there 8 years. Eventually handed everything off and took over their college ministry. I led that for almost 2 years and started to get this stirring inside in December of 2015. And we were expecting our third kid. I'd been there for a long time. And it was this weird thing of, I remember asking a question around the story of Elisha mm-hmm. and how Elijah with a J and Elisha was like the apprentice to Elijah. Mm-hmm. But in that story, Elijah has to, he gets taken up into heaven and Elisha grabs his staff, grabs his robe, touches the river and moves on. And then all the things we see happen in Elisha's life happen after Elijah left. Mm-hmm. So the question was like, do you kind of have to leave out from under mm-hmm. the covering of guidance that you've been in order to find out what it is God want to do? And I'm asking these questions, just inquisitively wondering mm-hmm. to Dan Ryland, our executive pastor. And out of that conversation, it became clear of like, oh, I think I'm supposed to leave. So for the next 5 months, I continued to lead, but had no idea where I'd go. Mm-hmm. Ended up telling the college ministry I was going to leave with nowhere lined up while we had just had our third kid. Mm. Just a little pro tip. Mm. It's not the best thing in the world, okay?
No. Brett Larson was real happy about that. Yeah.
Yeah, there are so many moments that I can share.
You're pregnant. I'm leaving my job.
That's right, yeah. Oh, and you stay home with our kids? You're the only income? Great, okay. Yeah. But yeah, we ended up having some friends who worked at North Point, and I just tracked with them and talked to them about what was going on, and loved them deeply, really respected them, and So, kind of in a roundabout way, had a conversation about going to Woodstock City to lead their Upstreet, which is their elementary ministry. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I thought, like, I'll never go back to kids ministry. And I had somebody really challenge my thinking about God's economy. It's kind of the language that Kevin Queen had told me earlier that someone brought back up to me of, in terms of impact and influence and what you're doing and opportunity, like, there may not be a greater opportunity to expand the kingdom and do things in ministry than you going and leading this. Mm. For the size of the team, the size of the volunteers, the size of the amount of kids that were there, like, it was a great opportunity to grow in leadership, mm-hmm. and to make an impact. So my son was also about to go into kindergarten. So the idea of, like, leading him,
yeah.
Was really intriguing.
Your mind's already there.
Yeah, man. And I was trying to figure out how to be a student of that age to be able to help everyone. And then you're also becoming, you're becoming a young adult. I'm 30 at the time, I guess. So maybe not young adult anymore in our context, but yeah, 18 to 25 guys. But you're becoming a young parent, tracking along other people in the same season as my generation became young parents. So now I'm learning how to speak to the parents and how to come alongside families and how to help them. And so we were really excited. But when we moved, we lived in Winder over near like Chateau-Alain, Braselton area, and 85 North. I'd been over there my whole life.
Winder always, it's so funny when you say that. I haven't told you this, but Winder always feels like up past Waleska to me. You know what I mean? Like Fairmount. When you say Winder, that's what I think of, but it's the complete opposite.
It's the complete opposite. It's as out there as is, past Waleska can feel. Yeah. But we moved so I went to high school in Gwinnett County, went to Georgia, came back to Gwinnett County. And so a lot of our friends in our community was really like my friends that I knew that got married and their friend, like we kind of had, so it was very tethered. My life was very tethered to Gwinnett. So to move over here, we knew literally no one.
Yeah.
So I knew zero people in this area. I knew zero people at the church. I knew zero people doing what I was doing, and just took a big risk. And at the time I figured out, or what it taught me afterwards was I can go and do anything, even if it's uncomfortable. And this is for me. If my family's with me, like I really found my anchor, my home isn't even the community around me. And it's not the house we live in. Like it's my wife.
Yeah, totally.
And it's my kids. And so you know this from moving here, you moved many times cross country. Like, it was a big deal for me.
I moved to get away from my family.
Fair. And all my family is still over that area. They live around Flowery Branch. So it was hard to move over here, but it also, it taught us how we can look into each other to kind of be a stability. And it ended up being a great thing. So that was 2016.
Yeah, that's a huge point. I was going to say first, like, you're like, hey, Larson, I don't have a job.
That's right.
Now we're moving.
Yeah.
You know, I'm taking you away from everything.
Buckle up.
No. But yeah, to your point though, that was probably one of the best things that happened to y'all. Cause it does 100%. force you to really build that foundation. And I agree. Like Lindsay and I, we were married for 1 year and we lived close to our families. Mm-hmm. And then we moved within Texas, 8 hours away. On our 1 year anniversary, we were sitting in the membership class at our new church, like on that day. So that was our 1 year anniversary, was joining.
Wow.
But that was really great. You know, it forced us to figure those things out. And yeah.
Deeply formative.
Yeah.
And how many years were you at Woodstock City?
So I was there 7 years.
Okay.
I led their elementary ministry for 2 years, and then I led their high school ministry for 4. And then I led their college ministry for almost a year and a half. So I was leading high school ministry when COVID hit. And it was just wild thinking back 5 years ago of like figuring out how you don't stop, even though everything else has stopped.
Yeah, totally.
How do we continue to keep these students connected to their leaders and keep them in a way to make sure that they're not isolated?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can we meet in driveways? Can they meet at parks? Mm-hmm. We got some leaders who are like, we're meeting anyways. I don't care.
Yeah.
Not doing that, you know what I mean? It was a wild time in ministry, but yeah, 7 years that I was there. Then 2023, we ended up leaving Woodstock City, and I worked for, this is kind of the story of how I got here to Rev. I worked for an agency for almost a year. Had an opportunity to go do ministry other places, but really was liking an opportunity to go, and I was an account director at a place called PulseSpark.
A creative firm, like, right, yeah.
Yeah, it's a strategic content agency.
Yeah.
So the kind of tagline we would say is, we help people know what to say and how to say it on stage and on screen. Mm. A lot of programming. So I helped lead out with the Global Leadership Summit, everything John Maxwell, all of his events, City of Refuge, a nonprofit down in Atlanta. So I was an account director, and so I was kind of brought on to be highly relational, help with strategy, help with thoughts. And about 10 months in, I realized, like, I'm not the best person for this. Mm-hmm. And it was a really hard season for us, because I started to feel dread every day of knowing, like, what's really needed at this company isn't me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What I'm really good at doing, I'm not able to provide, because A, the job has kind of shifted. They need something different, but also, like, the speed with which they're running.
Yeah.
I've got 15 years of ministry experience. These people got 15 years of marketplace or marketing experience. Right. So I, the language I use, I don't know if I've told you this, back to sports. I felt like I was a basketball player trying to play baseball. Mm. And I just figured out how to maybe hit a curveball at AA.
Yeah.
And they were like, we need you at the majors now.
Yeah.
Now, am I saying I'm Michael Jordan? No. But it was so disorienting.
Yeah.
And I think God used that season while I was at PulseSpark in a great way, because it allowed us to heal in a lot of ways, but also allowed us to figure out, like, all right, what do we want to do?
Yeah.
So last spring is when I was like, all right.
Yeah.
I don't know that this is right.
Yeah. So let's fast forward to 2024. I am on my leave of absence, and the plan was always, hey, I would take over this discipleship role, and that would be a central leadership role, and then we'd raise up a campus pastor. I'm not trying to be funny here, but it was funny that when I began my leave of absence last June, Pastor Jason and Pastor Chad were just incredible. And they said, hey man, if you need to take a year, and like 2.5 months later, we're having our daily conversations. We talked every day.
Yeah.
You were either with me or we talked every day. And you said, has it been a year?
Yeah. Right. Felt like it.
It feels like a year.
Jeez.
But in the meantime, there was uncertainty about, you know, the time frame of me coming back.
Yeah.
There was no uncertainty about me coming back.
No, it was just open ended. You know what I mean? That's like, how do you, there's no way to know what that is.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you guys began the search, and two amazing names popped up. And so how did that play out?
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about this when Pastor Jesse was on a few episodes ago. But yeah, like you said, we always knew that that was we were going to transition. You had just sped up the process a little bit. And we had, I don't even think we had posted the Canton campus pastor position. Mm-mm. And you had a friend, we had the Jasper campus pastor posted, and you had a friend like, hey, you should maybe apply for this. So you did. And ironically, when you called that day, well, you applied and then called, and then Lindsay happened to answer the phone, which she doesn't normally do. But she did. And then y'all talked for a while.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, Lindsay came in. She's like, I just got off the phone with a dude, and I think we should hire him in Canton. Like, I think we should hire him. And we hadn't even like fully posted that position. Mm-hmm. And so since that, I don't know if we talked again for a couple months.
No.
You know, which stinks for you.
It was tough. Time. I mean, context now, I'm like, oh, there was a lot going on in this church last summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That everyone, it was like two hurricanes you know, at the same time. And, but yeah, I had a friend who knew someone on staff.
Yeah.
And so when the decision of like, shifting Pastor David to the different role was kind of getting known. They let me know like, hey, we may be looking for.
Yeah.
So I reached out like, this isn't on there. This isn't available, but I heard that maybe if so, I'd really be interested in that. Mm-hmm.
that is so cool. But in that meeting, you also brought up something else. You're both looking at me like, what?
Oh, you're talking about with Jesse and.
No, young adults.
Oh, yeah, totally. So,
did you know that he does young adults too?
Yes, okay. Yes, I did. So, well, no, there's a lot of facets to it, so I wasn't sure. Yeah, no, that's where, because again,
if you're just listening to this, they looked at me like I was from another planet.
Yeah.
Do tell. What do you mean,
well,
sir?
Well, part of your job as the host of this is setting up conversations. Yes. I just didn't know what you were setting up.
That was a softball.
You were teeing it up. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I was almost there.
Okay.
Oh, I just didn't know which part we were going down.
No, when I called, I applied for the Canton role. I applied for, I think, the young adults role.
I think that's what you
applied for. That's what I actually applied for. Yes. And I mentioned in the email, hey, I'd be interested in this. It's not available, not open, but this is what I'd love to consider.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then when I did talk to Pastor Chad, it was probably 6 weeks later, I finally talked. Yeah. He had a vacation and someone was gone and then timing. He was like, so... All right. And me and Chad have mutual friends. And so he had known or kind of heard who I was and asked questions. And he's like, so just for clarity, are you applying for the Canton role that kind of doesn't exist, but might exist? Or are you applying for young adults? Mm-hmm. And I was like, what about both?
Well, yeah. What about, yeah. Yeah.
And he goes, what? And I was like, yeah, dude, what if I did both?
Yeah.
I've done college ministry for 5 years. I've, you know, led kids to college at two different really large churches, like large scale size and impact. Mm-hmm. Is there a world where both of them could happen? He was like, hadn't thought about that. It's like, well, think about it.
Yeah, think about it. Yes. No, that is the cool part. Yeah. To your leading is like, clearly we didn't know that you were going to be taking a leave of absence. We didn't know you know, and what God had been doing in your life. And then in the midst of all of that, like it became incredibly clear, like it was just amazing that God knew that that's what we needed, that like you had been uniquely prepared, not only doing young adults, but by doing students, doing kids. Like there's a unique preparation that you had already went through that made you really prepared to be a campus pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't just want to stand on a stage and talk to adults. You know, you care about kids because you have 5 kids. You care about students, you know, and you'd been ministering to young adults. And so it just became one of those things pretty clear, pretty quickly of like, oh, this is like, like we just found like a unicorn, you know, like this is crazy.
Yep.
We live 8 minutes away.
You already are here.
Yes.
Like you live literally minutes. Like a few miles down the road.
Yeah.
We lived on the same street.
We did. We were neighbors and didn't know it.
Yes. Yeah. Which is pretty shocking knowing both of you that you didn't know each other. Maybe you saw the Clemson flag and were like, no, I don't want anything to do with that. You know,
orange.
That orange just repelled you. And we've already talked about Jesse when he was on here, that him and Matt had both applied. And I remember telling Chad, Chad came to me after y'all's conversation of like, hey, Matt is interested in doing both of these jobs. And I was like, huh? Because we just started young adults and we knew we needed a young adults because we had put that online. So it was like, hold on a second. Like, okay, he could do both of these. And then Jesse that we've already talked about, like we could move him over to this. And I'll never forget, I was just in our structure, you know, we have a board and they set budgets and, you know, help hiring and all that kind of stuff. And we were on a call before we officially offered both of you the jobs. And I remember telling our board, I was like, both of these guys, like I'm explaining, and, you know, not trying to sell them, but like I'm explaining you and Jesse to them. And I made a comment. I was like, man, this is just wild. It's like both of these guys were made for this church in these positions, like at this time.
Mm.
And where I said something, and then one of our board members was like, yeah, this just feels like these two guys, I think he actually said like unicorns or gems or diamonds in the rough or something like that. And I was like, yeah, like I'm glad y'all feel that way because that's how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Like these two guys were uniquely gifted and called for us, you know? And so, yeah, your whole background and everything. So I'm so glad you spoke up and said that. Cause that wasn't, you know, how we weren't even thinking about that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, having a conversation with Jesse, we weren't even thinking like it wasn't even on our radar yet to hire that position. So it was like, man, we just knocked out like three or four positions when we were just trying to find a young adults guy. You know, like,
and I found it fascinating. There was a profile of what we were looking for.
Yeah.
And then we give everybody this thing. And we did this for team members a couple years ago called the Culture Index.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And specifically, we're looking for a particular profile in the Culture Index for that position. Mm-hmm. And the Culture Index came back on Matt.
Yeah, it's funny. Like whenever you're setting a profile for somebody, you kind of set it. The cool thing about this tools is you can think about how what you want this person to be, like gifts and whatever, you know. And you're kind of doing that. I mean, you're definitely doing it blind. You're definitely, like, if it's a more administrative role, you need somebody with those qualities and that kind of thing. So we had set the original profile with our consultant, and you didn't meet that profile, you know. Not that you didn't measure up, but it was just how we were thinking about, like, just in a generic way, a generic campus pastor. And I remember looking at it, and when we got your profile, and Chad made a comment, it's like, yeah, well, Matt doesn't match the profile. And Chad basically just wrote you off, you know. That's a joke. He didn't. But no, Chad was like, we can't hire this guy. And I was like, Chad, you're wrong. It was like a, you know, it was like, you can't handle the truth. You know, it was that kind of moment. No, I'm joking. But no, I said, well, hold on, Chad. I said, pull up David's profile. And we pulled up David's profile, and your profile almost exactly matched David's profile. And I said, Chad, I think we're looking at this all wrong. Like, we're just thinking generic campus pastor. I said, but David, like, following David is going to be so hard because everybody loves David. Mm-hmm. And so then I was like, well, if David made a bad campus pastor, like according to this profile, then maybe the profile's wrong.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if this profile says David wasn't right for the campus pastor, who's been doing it for 7 years at that point, or however long you've been doing it and doing an amazing job, I'm like, I think we need to rethink the profile. And again, once we saw it like that, we're like, oh, then you're the perfect fit.
Yeah.
Again, because we were looking for not another David in that sense, but like someone in the mold. And then again, you were just so uniquely qualified, not only from your ministry experience, but from your wiring and who you are, you know, and your stage presence, you know, because obviously David had plenty. I mean, we were already talking about, like, you had a lot of media experience, David knew how to, owned a comedy club. Like, he knew how to stand on a stage and handle a crowd.
One of his 19 lives.
Yeah, one of his 19 lives. So again, it's things like that. Like, we couldn't go down a level from where David was, you know? And so once we looked at you through that lens, it's like, oh, we're not going down a level at all.
You know, I think we went up a level.
Well, I didn't want to say that. But, you know,
I think we did.
Well, it's not that we went up a level. It's that he was in your mold, but he just had, like you said, experience you didn't have.
Yes.
You know, and then from a communication standpoint, like, again, you're used to writing messages and speaking to all kinds of audiences. And so it was one of those things. And when I watched your message, I was like, oh, let's hire this dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and then we talked, and then just
quick chemistry.
Oh, so quick. And it's like, we just talked for hours and hours and hours. We're like two little middle school girls, like, talking theology and church and
football.
Yeah. I mean, it was so easy.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. That's the best compliment I could give you at the time, was like, you're so much like David. Mm-hmm. You know, you're so easy to talk to. People are going to love you. You can stand on a stage. You can command a room. You can preach the word. I remember after, like, I think your first young adults message, I talked to you afterwards, and I was like, bro, you're so gifted at this. Mm-hmm. Like, don't get up there. Not that you were apologizing, but like, don't get up there and like sell your, like, you just get up there and go, dude.
Yeah.
Like, preach.
Yeah.
Like, get after it.
You said, I will know that you are comfortable when you don't feel like you have to have an intro.
Yeah.
When you can just get up and go.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's fair.
Yeah.
Because there was not like a hiatus, but it had been, outside of teaching a camp over the summer, it had been, I would call it a year. I was an interim preacher at a church over the summer. I taught a camp. Like there were some communication opportunities before coming here, but from April of 23 until this fall, this December, when I taught that first time, it was like, it's just different when you're teaching to your people.
Yes.
And not just coming in as an itinerant or totally. As an interim or, and so it was a different weight again. And so I think that was what you probably sensed that first time of, hey man, you're good.
Yeah.
Like, just go.
You go.
And so that was, it was encouraging for you to say that for sure.
In the meantime, when this hiring process is going on, I'm pretty sure I was still on my leave of absence.
You were.
And, and then you and Chad said, hey, you get coffee with this guy.
Yeah. They went to Scotland and you were the designated survivor.
I was. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So long before I came back to church, I came back to the office.
Yeah. You weren't really back yet, but we needed a pastor because me, Chad, Dad, we're all out of the country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm up.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, David.
But it was like week one or week two after you had come back.
Yeah. And so we went and had coffee, and within 5 minutes, I'm like, yep, this is the guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
And the funny, I don't know if you know the story, I accidentally told David that I was going to accept the role. Mm. Have you heard this?
I don't think
so. Yeah.
So we're at Alma Coffee.
And I'm holding my cards because I don't know if he knows that he's the guy.
Yeah.
So I'm just holding cards.
And he doesn't know where our conversations have gone.
Yeah.
And so I... And I think y'all made an offer right before you went to Scotland. Like the last thing you did before Scotland was calling Chad being like, hey dude, I'm in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so he didn't know because y'all are across the pond. And is it Henry, the owner of Alma?
Yeah. Yep.
Henry walks up and I had met Henry before stuff at Woodstock City and David knew him because David knows everyone. He's the mayor.
Yeah.
And so he starts talking to us and he was like, oh yeah, you used to work there. And yeah, you're at Rev. Are you there now? And I was like, I'm about to be. And just kept on going. And David kind of looks at me after he leaves and he's like, so what'd you mean by that?
I haven't heard this.
And I was like, oh dude, you don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I knew that you knew that he was the guy.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that he knew that you knew that he was the guy.
That you knew that.
That I said yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And, but even then, quick chemistry.
Yeah.
We talked for, I think, 2.5 hours.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I didn't have a job for 4.5 months. So I'm like, I got time.
Yep.
What you want to do?
Well, and that was the cool thing too. Like, again, we had sped up the process since you were on your leave of absence, which now looking back on it, like I can see the sovereignty of God and all that.
Because
if you hadn't have taken your leave of absence, we might not have hired you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you needed a job, you know, and... So you were talking with you had other options, you know? And so now like, it just makes me like shudder to think that we could have missed out on that.
Chad used the words the very first time you'll introduce me to the staff. He was like, we really see that God is in this.
Yes.
Yes.
And looking back now with, you know, 6, 7, 8 months of perspective, I'm like, it's wild.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How his sovereignty played out in all of our stories of allowing me and my family to be here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very grateful.
My favorite part of the story actually happened at the team member event. So we called all the team members together.
Last year.
Not the team member party last week, not the Star Wars themed team member party.
This was the special one.
So this was, okay, all team members get together for a special meeting.
Yeah.
You know, what is this about? It was a Sunday afternoon in October and you announced that I was coming back and I came out on stage and then you announced Matt and you announced Jesse. And then we all left that afternoon to a pastor's retreat.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The six of us now.
Oh yeah.
It had been the four of us. Now it's the six of us. This retreat had been planned for long before I took the leave of absence.
Yeah.
So we go to, a place up in Adairsville for almost 3 days. And it was as if you guys had been on staff and in our culture for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a great fit. You and I roomed together.
Mm-hmm.
We sat around the fire every night just talking. And that is extremely rare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it leads into my question. What has surprised you the most about being here?
That's a good question, David.
Yeah,
that's
a great question.
Yeah.
Based on your previous ministry experience and how this might be different.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that became apparent pretty quick. So we attended Rev one time.
Mm-hmm.
I left April of 23. We attended in the fall of 23 one time and loved it. for a lot of reasons, we were like, I don't know that we're ready to like start coming here or attend here. We had a season where we would say we were like church homeless. Our small group was our church, really. But the thing when we walked away, we said we loved it and it felt really familiar the first time we were in here. So then coming back in, the thing that I've noticed, and I say this is going to come across weird, but I think I know y'all understand it. I hope the people listening understand. It didn't surprise me now that I know y'all, but the thing that I don't know that I was ready for is the fact that we are a church. Now you're looking at me like I'm, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Like, I get it.
What?
I get it.
There are so many churches who operate as organizations or they operate basically as businesses. And the primary heartbeat and the reason as to why they're doing what they're doing, I would say, is to grow a building more than grow the body. But our thing of love Jesus, grow people, and how that emanates through every single thing that we do, it has been surprising in a good way, in a fresh way to me, of the reality that we're more concerned with growing the body than growing the building. I have been here for 7-8 months, whatever you said.
Yep.
This is like insider trading, but it's still wild to me that I have not been in a single meeting where a number or an attendance number or anything like that has ever been mentioned. Not one. I don't think you have any idea how many people show up.
I do. Yeah, but
but I say that in a genuinely great way of like, our motivation is not some up and to the right metric of success.
Yeah, that's right.
And there is a lot of good when you instill the corporate leadership practices into the leadership structures and systems of a church. Mm-hmm. I mean, Exodus 18, like there's structure and layer and leadership, it's all needed. But when it becomes your primary motivation, you lose the heartbeat of what the church is supposed to do and supposed to be. And that has been a massive wave of oxygen for both me and Larson of, no, we feel like we're a part of a church. When we when we left, you know, 2 years ago, we would visit some churches and you could like feel it. You could sense it. You could see it of like, oh, they get it. Or this is a show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so to be at a place where the motivation is very aligned has been wonderful.
Yeah. The only time we talk about attendance numbers is, holy cow, we have a lot of people.
Yeah, there are so many kids at the 9:30.
We've got to figure this out.
Sweet mercy. And you said it great back in the fall. We had a group of young adults come from New Orleans, and we did a Q&A, and you said, we track and measure everything with attendance, not because it's a goal, but because of our strategy. Yeah. How do we go and love on and take care of people in the best way possible? Let's prepare for who's going to be here. Mm-hmm. It's going to inform our strategy,
right,
not determine our plan. Mm-hmm. I think that is the... Again, it's a slight shift in motivation, but it really is everything when you get into the leadership of the church.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, to your point. Yeah, we're not driven by attendance.
Right. You
know, we're not, and big is not bad.
No.
But in the church world, it's always, but big is better, you know, or you're more blessed if you're bigger, you know. And I learned that a long time ago before coming here. And I remember telling our staff at the time when I got here, like, hey, I don't want to know the attendance on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And they looked at me like I had two heads, kind of your point. I said, because I don't want to think it was a great Sunday if attendance is up, and it was a bad one if attendance is down. I need to sleep. I need to go home and sleep. And then the next morning, you know, Monday, when I come, then you can tell me, you know, then I can look at it. Because I want to think that if the Spirit showed up and moved in people's lives, it was a great day. Mm-hmm. Not because attendance.
Well, and two things. One, it's the reality of what is the measure of success?
Yeah.
And it's faithfulness. But faithfulness is not measured by outcome. It's measured by output.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to focus on output.
Yeah.
God, you take care of the outcome.
Exactly.
I can't 100%. Determine that. I'm just going to be faithful with what you've given.
Yeah.
But the second side of it is also the adage that you'd hear. And all of this is a kind of a result of how church has, you know, grown and expanded over the last 20 years, the mega church movement, the non-denominational, whatever. As it's continued to grow, this this expression of larger church, the adage you'd hear all the time was like, yeah, but healthy things grow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I remember there's a guy named Jordan Warner. He is the pastor of an Anglican church in Alpharetta called The Parish. And I had a conversation with him, just kind of about season and what he's doing and ministry. And we had gone there a few times. I have some friends who go there now. And he said, everyone always says healthy things grow. Yeah, but so does cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like wow. to focus solely on.
So does unhealthy things grow.
That's yeah. what yes. I'm saying. You, yeah. Like you can't just yeah. measure, well, we're growing, so everything's great. Yeah. Not always.
No.
And again, it's a motivational thing. I want to be faithful. And so y'all's heartbeat towards that. That's a Southern term, y'all's.
Yeah.
It is. Plural. It is. And yeah. you only use it when you say, I have five kids, y'all.
Yeah, y'all. Yeah. I do. It's very true. I probably say that too much. They know me now. It's fine. But that, the motivation and the heartbeat y'all have has been very much a surprise of like, okay, I'm not in dissonance with the posture of leadership and what we're trying to do, which is great.
Well, I love the way you lead and I love the way you teach, but what really excites me, and this is about Jesse too, is the way you love people. I notice that when I'm walking around and I see, oh, you already know everybody's name. Oh, you're having conversations with people.
I'm trying. I'm not as good as you, David, but I'm trying.
I have years here.
Yeah. I don't know anyone as good as him at this.
Length of years. And Jesse, same thing, walking around the church, whether it's a Wednesday night or a Thursday night or a Sunday, and getting to know people and loving them and sitting with them and hearing their stories and caring for them. That's huge. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have a church that feels the way it feels. Mm-hmm. That's why we have a staff that feels the way it feels. Jason and Chad's leadership has led to a staff with 35 people who love each other. And that cascades down to everybody we touch.
Yeah. Ministry follows.
I don't mean down to, but you know.
But ministry follows the heart of the leader. Mm-hmm. And so, however Jason is, wherever his heart is, emanates and falls down to every layer underneath that. It's true in the micro, but it's also true in the macro.
Yeah.
And so, that is what we see play out in the way that our church feels, the way that it exists, the way that people interact and they're a part of it. It's unique because I think of the heartbeat and the, you know, how you're wired and the way that you want to lead. Mm-hmm. That you are you teach every week, but you're a pastor.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, we even talked about that in the term, you know what I mean? Like, and I think we discussed that even some, which I do have a correction from last podcast, I remember, because we talked about the Greek word of bishop. I had it correct the first time.
Okay.
Episkopos and bishop. Then I corrected myself, but my correction was wrong. But we talked about like titles, you know, to me, other than being husband and father, well, first being a child of God, a believer, but pastor, I think is one of the most honoring and coolest titles in the world. And to your point, I think so many preachers, they like to preach, and who doesn't want to preach to big crowds? You know what I mean? And they're gifted evangelists or teachers, but it's almost like before it was, you're a better pastor if you're more entrepreneurial, you know? And there's a side to that that's necessary because the church is an organization, but I don't ever want to outgrow to being a pastor to people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like that's the greatest honor, one of the greatest honors of my life. And you two guys obviously mirror that. And to your point, that's what I want. Mm-hmm. I don't want business leaders. I want pastors, you know, pastors that want to shepherd people. And it bothers me when somehow, like if you look at 1 Peter 5, when Peter says that, like, we are to shepherd his people until the chief shepherd comes. Mm-hmm. Like, what greater honor do we have to be called pastors or shepherds to Jesus's people?
Yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, that's what I want in our pastors.
In one of my early conversations with Matt, and before I even get to that, I have been the recipient of your shepherding, Pastor Jason, for over a decade now. And, that's what I love the most about you is that you are a shepherd.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
I love the preaching and the laughter, but your conversations with me, your care for me, sometimes difficult conversations of blind spots, has been the greatest growth in my walk with Jesus. And Matt, in one of our first conversations, it may have been coffee, mm-hmm. and I think his name is Harry.
Yeah. yes. Sorry, Harry.
No, you're good. You're good. In that conversation, you gave me a picture of what you thought a shepherd was.
Yeah, I've gone through a lot of, I think this is language you asked me about when we first talked of.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of disorientation I've gone through mm-hmm. in my experience in mm-hmm. ministry. Growing up in, like when I was at 12 Stone in 2011, I think it was Outreach's fastest growing church in America. Like just stupid momentum and all the growth. And as a result of that, though, through my 20s and into my early 30s, I got very much swept up into like, I'll call it the idol of influence and the ambition drug mm-hmm. and wanting the opportunity, wanting the name, wanting the whatever, and having to, and I don't know that publicly I ever would have said that.
Of course. Yeah.
But the people closest to me knew and probably saw it and smelled it of mm-hmm. like, oh, he's got some things that need to be broken. And God did mm-hmm. in a very kind way he did. And so the disorientations led to a lot of reorientation. One of those reorienting things that he's kind of landed for me, and this guy Mike Thomas, he's a counselor of mine for a few years, helped me kind of figure this out, of preachers build platforms, pastors build pastures.
Pastures.
Yeah. Preachers build platforms, pastors build pastures. And if Jesus is called the Good Shepherd and we're trying to follow him, I'm pretty sure we should be building pastures for people to find the more and better life than they could ever dream mm-hmm. of, which is what he says in John 10:10, mm-hmm. Eugene Peterson's words on it.
Yeah.
But that is the heartbeat of what he mm-hmm. did with people.
Yeah.
And if I'm trying to follow him, then that's what I need to do. And it has nothing to do with my name, has nothing to do with my platform, has nothing to do with self-promotion. It's simply just being faithful with, mm-hmm. all right, God, you got it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go and tend and take care of
yeah.
whomever I can.
And that's when I was like, yep.
Yeah. He's the
guy.
I was going to say, I'm glad you said it, because I was going to say like, hey, say that thing you say. Yeah,
I know. I got so many little, this guy, Ben, he used to work with me. He's like, dude, you got more little like quippy one-liner Twitter things than I've ever heard. I was like, I'm never going to post them. You just get to hear them all the time.
No, but I love that, because again, it fits right in with grow. You know, like, that's one of the things, and I don't know if I told you this, but when you use that line of pastor and pastures, I was like, oh, well, that fits perfect with grow people because that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to create environments or whatever area for people to grow. And a pasture is the perfect analogy for that. Obviously biblical.
I have so many more questions. We're over an hour.
I know. Yeah.
So here's the thing about consuming podcasts. Now, some people have a short attention span. I have a short attention span, especially in the last year. I can watch about a 20-second YouTube reel.
How about what speed do you listen to podcasts on? That's a fun question.
It depends. It depends on what the podcast is. If it's something that somebody tells me I have to listen to because it's so good, a regular speed.
Malcolm Gladwell, Revisionist History.
Yeah.
Okay.
If it's something that I want to listen to just to get the information.
Yeah.
1.25. Mm-hmm.
What's yours?
I refuse to listen to anything other than just normal speed.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, I listen at 1.9.
Yeah.
So I'm like, 60 minutes?
Yeah.
That's a car drive. Because at 1.9, it's 33.
This is going to sound really funny. When I was in my 30s, I used to do the same thing.
Yeah, man.
Well, my brain doesn't work that fast.
I feel like the reason why, and it's funny, I had this conscious thought. I didn't know you were going to ask this question, but I feel like everything in my life is speeding up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now podcasts for me are, normally I'm listening in the car or in my truck, and I intentionally listen like just on one or even slower because I'm trying to really slow my brain
down.
Yes.
Yeah. I will fast forward through any pitch for a product or a book.
I will fast forward through that 100%.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. If they want to be funny in the beginning, like we try to be.
Yeah.
I'll listen to see whether they are funny or not. So many guys are not.
Yeah.
But as for content, I want to understand the content.
Yeah. And it's funny, like now books, especially for my school,
yeah.
Like books on that. Oh,
Fly.
Oh, yeah. 1.5. Yeah. I'll speed mm-hmm. those up because mm-hmm. I'm just listening for content.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's funny. I have really one main podcast I listen to all the time that is theological. And I really, I'll listen to it multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
Like meditate.
Basically, yes. On, yes. Yeah. So it's funny. That has almost become like a ritual for me. So I can't fathom listening to that one any faster.
all that to say, I'm cool keeping going, which is a terrible sentence. You have a
lunch.
Yeah, part two.
Okay.
Yeah. Part two.
Next time. There will be part two because we didn't.
Part two.
Here are the questions I want both of you to ponder.
Okay.
Okay. What challenges do you see this church facing?
Okay.
What areas of growth do you think we can focus on so we're not running in sideways energy as a lot of organizations and churches do?
Sure. Yeah.
And then I want to get into the vision of young adults.
Yeah.
Which young adults, is it this weekend or next weekend?
May 18th.
May 18th. Okay.
After Mother's Day.
It's usually the first Sunday of the month.
Yeah.
But we moved it because of multiple things.
Mm-hmm.
But your vision for young adults, the creation of young adults with Pastor Jason and Pastor Chad, when you said, hey, we need somebody thinking about this every day, and then where you see that age group has changed since you were a young adult. It's certainly changed since I was a young adult.
Yeah.
You know, horse and buggy was.
Oil lanterns. Yeah. Okay.
That was just because you were in Pennsylvania. It wasn't.
That's true.
That's true. We'll end with this and we'll wrap up the show. But the wildest thing in my 34 years in broadcasting was I was doing a morning show in Ephrata, Pennsylvania. I had to think about the name. Ephrata. So it's Lancaster County. It is Amish country.
Yeah.
And the station was in the country. It was on a farm. And we have this 50,000-watt tower outside the station broadcasting to most of southeastern Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And every morning there were horse and buggies going by.
I'm sure.
Is it anachronism? Something like that.
Yeah. Something weird.
Yeah.
I don't remember going back to the game show, so I have to look it up. I don't remember the word.
Yeah. Okay. So that this is your first experience on the podcast.
It's great.
You have to come back to talk about young adults.
Let's hang out again.
But really fascinating to hear your story, to see how both you and Jesse have assimilated not just into the life of the church, but importantly into the life of the staff, where you are shepherding people on our staff. You're caring for them. You're hanging out with them. And that's so important because we've built this culture over the course of, 15 years for you.
Oh, yeah. No, even going back to the heart of the pastor, that was huge. And not just you and Jesse. I mean, you guys are great, but your wives, your kids, all of that plays such a huge factor. And so I love it when Larson and some of your bunch will come by during the day.
Yeah.
My wife loves your kids and they call her Aunt Fanny now. And
she introduced herself as, "Hey y'all, I'm Lindsay."
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Everyone calls me Aunt Fanny.
Yeah.
So they don't even remember her name.
Yeah.
It's just not
everyone. It's just like kids.
My kids.
The staff kids.
She's Aunt Fanny.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Which Natalie does not love that, by the way. Natalie's like, "Mom."
I know she doesn't. She doesn't.
It's hilarious.
So we love you guys, your kids. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Thursday nights when you have some of your girls with you, it's just awesome. And you're such a patient dad. They're running around like crazy.
Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're trying to corral them to get out of here at 9 o'clock.
I'm trying not to lose my religion, David.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember I am in public.
Yeah.
And on set.
Okay. Well, that is today's podcast. For a transcript of today's podcast, write down everything we say, unless you're on YouTube and there is a transcript.
AI can figure that out.
Yes. This is when I rattle off all the names and I have a new one every time.
Our other staff members.
Yes.
In addition to
I have a special one for you today.
Lovely.
Okay. Our producer is Brian Dammer. Our video technician is the King, Keon Sadigi. Our key grip is Jakub Puszczykowski. Our film director is Marcos Guardiola. He can roll his R's.
He's off this week.
Yes. Keon, thank you. King Keon.
Thank you, Keon.
Yes. Our head of doctrine and theology is Theologian. That's her name. Yeah. Theologian.
Theo.
our chief evangelist is salvation. You're again looking at me like I'm from a different planet. You could laugh at these. Yeah. Maybe they're just not funny. No, I like them. Some of these I do for myself. our backsliding
he's
prevention.
Quite, he's off, quite defen- yes, defensive about.
Yes,
it. Just read them, David.
Our backslide. Yeah. This is what makes it funny. Yeah. Our backsliding prevention officer is lukewarm. Our director of Swedish witnessing is Bjorn again.
That's my favorite.
I've heard that one before.
Yes. Our expert on Russian eschatology is Pitov Hell.
Why Russian?
Pitov.
Pitov.
Pitov. Our director of holiness is mortification.
Some are geographic specific.
Yes.
Sure.
Our staff counselor is Les Moody. He's very busy.
Not really, because our staff, we're all good.
Actually, it's the healthiest staff we've ever had. Our giving coordinator is Generosity. Her name is Jenna. Rosity. Jenna. Our director of tithing is Tim Percent. Tim Percent. Our nativity, or more. Our nativity coordinator, she's from France. Bethlehem. Bethlehem. Mm. So,
does it sound like she's from France?
That sounds like she's from Israel.
Yeah. Well, there's a little bit of that in there, but... Yeah. Co-pastors of Plagues, Manny Locust and Lance Boyles, our Scottish eschatology professor, and you're leading the young adults trip to Scotland.
Alongside Jesse.
Yeah, make sure you run into Marco the Beast.
Marco.
Scottish eschatology.
Good.
Yes, thank you. Director of communication, you can blame this on Jimmy on our worship team. He wrote Bernie Bush. So,
that's a good one.
Director of communication, Bernie Bush. Our director of the doctrine of election is I Am Chosen. Our sabbatical director is Trip Long. Our missional expert is Sam Aria. Our resident Trinitarian is Holly Spirit. Our strategist for the final battle. Pancakes would be awesome.
That's right. Great British Bake Off.
Our strategist for the final battle is Irma. Armageddon. Our resident prayer warrior is Neil Down. Our executive director of spiritual warfare is Demonic. Our staff golf pro, and you can smack a golf ball.
Yeah, he can ball.
Yeah, we played last week, and you are so good at the Happy Gilmore thing, running up and hitting the ball. That went 300 yards.
There's some stories.
Our staff golf pro, yes, who always loses the ball up in a tree, Jack Nicodemus.
How many of these are new? Have you heard these?
I've heard all these.
Yes. There's no refresher.
Now, every time he reads through all of those, then there's one new one at the end.
Yes. You have to, because people are listening. After 34 years of broadcast, they're listening for their favorite one.
Yeah.
And they're giggling in their car.
These Easter eggs.
And there's music playing right
now. Yeah, there is. Yeah. So it's a lot more fun when you're listening to it. Our church growth strategist, Momentum.
Yeah. Mo.
Yeah, that was Ben Richter that wrote that.
Yeah.
Our head of our new AI initiative, because you got to be up on the AI.
Yeah.
Artificial. Our director of Old Testament covenants is Sir, he was knighted, Sir Kamsize.
Yeah.
Didn't expect that one, did you?
No.
Video technician in charge of instant replay is Slow Moses. This is a deep dive, and I'm putting this in there simply because you did preach, both of you, out of Ezra. We have a storage problem here at Revolution.
Small.
Yeah, you noticed that. Our chief strategist for storage, and you know him from Ezra and Esther, King Ahasha Warehouse. Ahasha Warehouse. He's our head of...
There's King Ahasuerus.
Yes.
Yeah. Sweet mercy.
Yeah. Jason doesn't like this one, but I'm going to do it anyway because I do. Our new director of Old Testament boxing underdogs, Rocky Babylonian.
It's not that I don't like it. It's just weird.
Yo Abraham. Our only staff member who has won the Vatican Masters Golf Tournament, Rosary McElroy.
Rosary
McElroy. And this one's for you because you love basketball. You played basketball. Our new director of basketball operations and prayer.
Because those go together. Yeah.
Kareem Abdul-Jabez.
Don't mess with Texas, guys.
He's been waiting on that one all day.
All day.
Probably yesterday, too.
Giggling on the way to... giggling on the way in this morning.
With your window down.
Yeah. Oh, all windows.
Cracked.
It was raining, and I still had them cracked.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, yesterday was beautiful, having them all down on my way home. Yeah. Put the sunroof back and the AC on. It was...
perfect.
It was amazing.
Yeah. Don't mess with Texas and Stitch Coffee if you haven't been.
Yes.
It's family from Revolution owns it here in Canton. Yep. Go get you some.
It's real good.
Product placement, which you probably just fast forwarded through.
Yeah.
Our new end to the show has a new tag. What is the new tag? As always, the king has one more move. And
trust God, take a nap.
See you.
Come back for part two.
Okay. Yeah.